Hello and welcome to the financial edition of the Empowered Divorce Summit. My name is Heather Debraceni and I'll be your host throughout this event. Today we're joined by Dr. Ann Brown. Dr. Brown is a PhD and RN out of Sausalito, California and formerly from Aspen, Colorado. She is a psychotherapist, speaker, coach, and author of Backbone Power, The Science of Saying No. For over 20 years, she served as the trusted advocate and advisor to influential corporate leaders, trial attorneys, athletes, leaders, physicians, and their families whose connections extend far beyond Aspen, Colorado. Combining her own personal experience and with what her clients call a combining her own personal experience with that of her no-nonsense mentor, the former Chilean Minister of Finance, political prisoner of Pinochet, and corporate business consultant, Dr. Fernando Flores, Brown used a methodology that helped people reveal their blindnesses and learn to speak authentically, thereby decreasing their suffering and increasing their dignity and authenticity. And has been described by one client as having a very caring way of going for the jugular. And is a graduate of the University of Virginia, BS in Nursing, Boston University, MS in Psychiatric Mental Health and Nursing, and International University PhD in Addiction Studies. In 1997, Brown also reached a personal goal of obtaining her black belt in can you pronounce that for me, Dr. Brown?
Subacto.
Subacto. So thank you for joining us, Dr. Brown.
Oh, it's my pleasure as always, Heather.
So let's just start for the listeners who aren't familiar with your work. What is Backbone Power?
Well, as women, unfortunately, we have a couple things going against us. And as we look to other areas of the world where women don't have rights, they don't have the ability to speak up, we can understand where we came from. But backbone power is necessary, and it's simply having the ability to say no when you need to say no. It's having the ability to make requests, and it's having the ability to speak your truth. So all of these, particularly the first two, are very important when you're engaging in financial conversations as you dissolve your marriage.
So why is it so crucial to use backbone power during those financial negotiations, whether you're divorced or even when you're going back to work after your divorce?
You can get set up for huge resentment, and that will interfere with you moving forward. If you don't negotiate hard, fair, what we really want and what is in the best interest of the children is if both people land on their feet. And women have a history of, again, being told not to rock the boat, being told not to have money conversations in many situations and not to ask for money. So we need to override those old messages, and you may not even know it. I have women, and I say, you know, can you please get me your budget so you know what your monthly nugget needs to be? And a lot of women don't know how to do that. They're embarrassed. They have shame about money. They don't know what they spend. They haven't participated in that. And what we really need to do is lean into the sword. Because if you don't negotiate during this time, you're at risk for building resentment and living every day with, I wish I. And you don't want to do that because you want to move forward. And finances, unfortunately, that's part of the whole package of healing from divorce.
It is. And it's on a related note, but not particularly like towards divorce. My daughter recently, she just started working, and she was waiting for her paycheck and waiting for her paycheck, and it didn't come right away when she had anticipated it, and everybody else got paid, and she's like, I don't understand what happened. And she came to me, and she said, well, Mom, I don't know what to do. And she was afraid to ask her boss because she was afraid that they would think that that meant that she wasn't grateful for the opportunity that they gave her in allowing her to work as a young girl in her profession and to mentor her. And I said, you know, honey, you have to understand that a mistake that women make is that they attach personal feelings to business situations. And so it's important for you to understand that when it comes to business, although you are thankful for the job that they gave you, you still work every day for that money. And
well,
so
and you run the risk of giving the message that you'll work for free. And
right.
Again, that's the history that we are, that we're blind to. And, you know, odds are, I mean, definitely people pleasers have that issue, but odds are a man would never think that way. He would be in the office the first day, you know, is there a mistake here? I didn't get my paycheck. My understanding was we were all getting our paychecks on June 15th.
Right.
It's just like cream in my coffee, please. And yet for women, as you just reported, it's like they need to give permission, be given permission to ask for what's due them.
Right.
I participated in a LinkedIn discussion where somebody asked, has anybody ever asked for a raise in their job? And you would be amazed at the number of women who had worked 30, 40 years at the same place and never asked for a raise.
Right. Right. And I think that that's important to understand when you're going through the divorce process, not just in your negotiations, because you do need to make sure that you get a settlement, like you said, that meets your needs so that you don't have those, I wish I had done that.
Yep.
But in addition to that, now if you are moving into a role where you are the sole financial provider in your household, that you need to make sure that you're getting the most pay that you can, so that you can provide for your children and yourself and live the lifestyle that you deserve, that you work hard for. So asking for a raise isn't about, you know, being greedy or any of those negative messages that women get for, you know, if you ask for more money, you are being a, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. You know, you have to kind of move past that.
And I would say, and so what?
Right.
Next.
Right. Exactly.
If asking for what a man makes is you being seen as greedy, then so what?
Right. So then all
you know,
the men who are making that much
you need
are greedy too.
To care of yourself and your family. And I'm not so sure that you really need to think about how you might look in that way. It's not. Number one, it's a business. And what I used to tell people who work for me, you can ask, and I encourage you to ask, but show me how you're going to make me that money so I can then go ask for a raise for you. Show me how you will bring that amount of money into the program.
Why you're valuable in that way.
Right, right.
And
give me the evidence
that
so I can go fight for you.
And then also as an employee to have the strength to say, if you know that you can make more money somewhere else and that you can have the benefits that you need or the schedule that you need or whatever the case may be, when you go to your employer and they say, no, sorry, we're not going to give you the raise, then have the strength to go out there and find the job that will.
Yeah.
Because you deserve to be paid what you are worth.
Yes.
So if your current employer, and I know, you know, for me particularly, I felt really loyal to my employer before. Doesn't matter how loyal you feel to them, a business is a business.
And yes, and you can say that. You can say, you know, I'd really love to stay here. I love working with all of you people, and I need to take care of my family. And I have found a place that will give me the hours that I need to take care of my family and the money that I need to take care of my family. You know, it's time
right.
for us to part ways.
Right, and no hard feelings. And men do it all the time.
Yep.
You shouldn't approach that situation with fear. You should approach it with strength and understanding of your worth. So, you know, what is a responsible, respectful way to start a conversation about finances?
I think it depends upon the situation. If we're talking husband and wife, and another thing that women do, it's just crazy. Someone told me this just a couple of days ago. You know, if they don't, they will sacrifice themselves. They will take money out of some place to pay for the child something rather than ask the husband who they're afraid of asking. So if it's a husband situation, you know, I just have people say, you know, what's a good time that we can discuss finances or have the financial conversation? If it's a business situation, you go to HR and you want to have a performance review and address your paying. If it's, and this I think is important with your lawyer, you really need to not assume that you've picked a lawyer who can fight for you. You need to interview him. You need to ask the questions. How do you think you're going to get me this? Or what are you thinking? This is what I used to live on. And that's why you have to do your due diligence and come prepared. You know, I used to live on this a month. I think I can make it if I get this a month. I think our finances can tolerate that. Now, how are you going to fight for me, and what do you think about that? You know, there are judges who, and there are lawyers who have assessments about self-care for women, and you want to make sure that you have someone who's just clean, who wants to fight for you. So if it's, you know, your lawyer, you need to say, all right, I think it's time for us to discuss the money part of my divorce and how you're going to do it. If it's your husband or if it's a friend, I want to talk about the fact that I think it's better if, you know, we alternate paying for lunch. I've paid the last three. I'd like you to pay the next one. I think you just identify what's a good time for us to have a financial conversation.
Right, because I think a lot of times because – And I know sometimes I'm guilty of this too, my poor husband. Sometimes because you spent your time wrapped in your mind going over all the different angles of what it is that you want to talk about, that you've come to the place where you're ready to talk about it. So then you go to them and you just kind of, you know, I call it the vomit. You know, you kind of vomit all this information onto the other person. But unfortunately, where you've had the time to prepare your responses, they have it.
Yep. Now, you always ask for a mutually, and I have a kind of an 8-point how to resolve conflict in my book. And the number one thing is, you know, let's pick a mutually agreeable time that we can have some difficult conversations, one of them being money.
Right. And I love that because it's part of things that get missed. And a lot of times that's where issues come into a marriage. Because you don't have those difficult conversations about finances or parenting or any of the hundreds of other things that come up in a marriage. And when you stop talking and you stop communicating with each other, that's where the relationship starts to break down.
Well, and I think I did an article on five conversations. You know, if you're dating and interviewing someone as your potential partner, you really have got to be prepared to have these conversations, financial health, all of the things that are going to be important. And if you say something and the person looks at you like, I'm never talking to you about money, that probably should tell you something.
Right, right. And in your future relationships, keep that in mind.
Yes, yes. Yes.
So what are some things our listeners can should avoid doing during financial conversations or negotiations?
Emotions, emotions, emotions. Keep them out of it. Don't use finances or children to get back at your husband. You know, get in a room and scream at each other for 2 days if you need to, but it's money. It's simply money. Look at what you need in order to move forward without resentment. Look at what you think can be your maximum learning potential, his, and how you both can land on the feet. Make absolutely clear requests. Women are famous for, what do you think I should have? Or, you know, the famous one is they're driving along and she has to stop at the ladies' room and she says, honey, are you hungry or, you know, do you want to stop? If you want to stop, say you want to stop. Make clear requests. Don't do, I don't know, what do you think? Don't do, I hate money conversations, tell me what I should know. Do your research, educate yourself, get your emotions out of it, and learn something. Take care of yourself. You will thank yourself forever if you do that.
And there's a certain amount of confidence that comes when you have taken the time to do your due diligence and educate yourself.
Yep.
So that when you're having the conversation and a question is asked, you feel competent to answer it.
Yes.
So it takes a lot of the anxiety out of it too.
And do it with your friends. Don't be alone. I had one woman, and she had kind of like a little party, and they, you know, the one who had gone through filling out this to find out her finances helped, and they kind of make it a fun thing. Don't sit there alone and in shame and in fear. Get somebody that you know is good about money and help them help you fill out whatever the forms are that your lawyer needs to know what you need to move forward.
Right, and I love that you say don't do it in shame, because that's part of the reasons for doing the summit is to let women know that they're not alone. And,
yeah.
You know, if you're sitting there thinking or feeling shamed because you didn't have your hand in the finances during the relationship, or he paid for everything and now you don't know how to use online banking, or whatever your situation may be, and you're sitting there listening to these interviews and you're thinking, man, I didn't do any of this stuff, you know, what am I going to do? The point of the summit is to let you know that you're not alone in what you're doing, and that one of the best things that you can give yourself is to surround yourself with people who can support you through this transition.
Yep.
So I know that I used to apologize a lot, and I have since learned that when it comes to dealing with certain personality types or during negotiation, that it isn't always appropriate. So what are some rules of thumb that our listeners should keep in mind about apologizing during their conversations or negotiations?
Well, I'd like to take that even broader, and I don't know why we apologize. I remember, you know, playing tennis, and, you know, every time I missed a shot, I'd say, oh, I'm sorry. And my coach finally said, you know what, stop it. Just say to yourself, next shot, next shot, next shot. I've observed this in, you know, young girls learning piano and apologizing every time they make a mistake. We got to stop that. The only time you should apologize is if you haven't kept an agreement or if you triggered someone. I don't know why we're apologizing all over the place. You're on the planet. Claim your space and restrict your apologies to, I mean, maybe there's some other areas I'm missing, but the big ones are, you know, when you break an agreement, and if you trigger someone by saying something that triggered an old wound in them. But there should be no, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. We got to get over that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not something you're going to hear out of the male population, odds are.
Right, and, you know, and I see this a considerable amount when women make the decision to leave, they feel the need to apologize for wanting to go forward. Now, if you were doing things that are hurtful to someone else's feelings or something like that, sure. You know, yes, to your former spouse, if you are on good speaking terms and they're not a narcissist or a sociopath,
yes,
go ahead and apologize. You know, but do it once the emotions have kind of died down a little bit, because if you do it when everything's still raw, sometimes that can lead to even more emotional triggers. But,
right.
I used to be the type of person that, and everybody who knows me now is just, they can't even understand this. There's a few people who remember me from back then and I'm going to be totally frank with my language here. If you told me, go fuck yourself, I would say, I'm sorry. And I say that because there were situations where that occurred. So,
interesting.
And so I really had to work to get out of that mode of apologizing for everything, because it just continually puts yourself forward as a victim and as someone who doesn't have the strength or understanding or knowledge to speak up and defend themselves or to do what's right. So you're taking all that blame on yourself.
And for me, again, you apologize if you have done something hurtful, if you haven't kept an agreement. And I have high standards for apologies. In other words, if you're apologizing to me, what I am hearing, otherwise I don't consider your apology sincere, is that you are really upset that you did what you did and you are going to use every one of your resources not to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're apologizing for everything, then you're not apologizing to my standard.
Right.
My standard is you really looked at your behavior, you're going to not do it again. Apologizing should not be, oh, I got caught. You know, I think I'll throw out that I'm sorry thing. That's not a sincere apology. Apology has to be, I really looked at my behavior, I don't like it, and I'm really going to work not to do it again.
Right.
So when we throw around, sorry for the bad shot, sorry I missed the piano note, you know, it's just not a language of strength. And I think we need to help our children, whoever do that, not do that, and ourselves when we do it.
And I know I just had a recent experience, and it just came to mind when you were talking. There's also the other end of I'm sorry, and there was a person, and it was a big event, and there was people there, and someone was upset, and they came, and it was not a reasonable response, let's say that, and they threw something in the middle of the table, kind of threw it down on the table, and it clattered. It was silverware, so it clattered everywhere, and I said, I'm okay with you being upset, but I'm not okay with that behavior. And she said, I'm sorry. And I said, okay, well, thank you. And then 2 seconds later, she had something and she kind of tossed the liquid into the sink. And she says, oh, maybe I should apologize for that too. Maybe that was aggressive. And I said, see, now what you're saying is you said you're sorry, but you obviously didn't really mean it.
Yes. Yes.
And so, you know, that to me, there's the two ends of the spectrum. Either you're apologizing for everything, and you don't really mean it because you're just apologizing for the sake of apologizing to appease everybody's feelings, or you're apologizing in a hostile way or in a sarcastic way, and you're not really sincere with it at all. Both are insincerity,
And you can tell yourself, I don't accept your apology because it wasn't sincere.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, so there are ends of the spectrum. So it's just be mindful of when you are using the word and like you said, and what is your intention behind it? Are you saying it to because you truly do not want to do it again and it was an error on your part?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what are some tips to help our listeners avoid being bullied during their negotiations?
One of the problems is, and I was having this conversation with someone the other day, and I was saying, you know, I don't know if you know this, but it from the conversations you're telling me, you know, that in my book is bullying. And she said, yes, very subtle bullying. And she said, and I said, did you know that during your marriage? And she said, not for a long time. So you may be being bullied during your marriage and not realize it. So you need help. This is where a really good therapist, a coach, a good lawyer can help you identify when that bullying, you don't need that. You're too extravagant. You don't need to know what I spend. You were a bad housekeeper, so you don't deserve. None of that has anything to do with anything. We have laws about how things get divided. And the best thing you can do is get your self-esteem in order, make requests, be clear, and help get people around you who can help you hold that request and not give in to the you shoulds. And come back with, no, actually, I did my homework, and this is fair, and this is what I'm asking for. You're spoiled. Well, that may be, and I did my homework, and this is fair, and this is what I'm asking for. The clearer you are about the negotiations and what's reasonable and fair for you to get, the less you're going to don't let those bullying remarks throw you off your negotiation. Stay with your clear request. You know, that's your opinion, and I disagree, and, you know, I'm still asking for this.
Right, and I know for me, once I learned how to set effective boundaries, when I was dealing with, and I dealt with a lot of really highly charged, let's say, situations in my former career, I would always just bring it back. to what my request was.
Yep.
And I did it in a reasonable tone. I wasn't sarcastic or anything like that. It's just, you know, will you please or will you stop? Yes or no.
Right. Right.
And just held, you know, stayed on course with what it was that I was trying to accomplish or the information that I was trying to obtain.
Yes.
And the same works, you know, no matter how emotional you feel towards your former spouse, the same principle applies to negotiating in a divorce because, you know, and it sounds harsh to some and it sounds callous. Divorce is just the business end of a marriage. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And when you start to attach emotions to that business, that's where things start to get cloudy.
Absolutely. That's why you hire a therapist, go to a group, and your emotions are there. And then you get your professional business financial coaches around you to enter into the financial business decision of negotiation of ending a marriage.
Right. So if you could share just one other piece of advice with our listeners about using backbone power in their financial negotiations, what would it be and why?
I actually think that it's probably got to be you've got to lean in. You've got to lean into the sword. You can't avoid. If you avoid, a lot of things are going to happen to you that you're going to regret later. And if you go in, educate yourself. I mean, we got books, we've got people, we've got resources, particularly in this country. You can learn anything if you surround yourself with the right people, the right education, books, the seminars, etc. So I would really say, you know, use it as a tremendous learning opportunity for you to get competent. It will give you tremendous self-esteem if you can negotiate and get as close to what you want as anybody says you can get. And then move forward. It's going to only help you in your job, in creating out in the universe, in going to bat for your kids when they need you to go to bat. It just, if you avoid it, I just think that's going to come around to haunt you forever.
Right. And the lesson that you were meant to learn, if you don't learn it now, you'll learn it eventually.
Yep.
Eventually.
I do believe that. Universe. Get your attention, and if you say no, I don't want to listen, you're going to be beaten up. So,
yeah. So, Anne, as always, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today.
You as well.
And I know that you have a gift that you'd like to offer the audience. So, can you tell us a little bit about it?
If you go to my website, www.backbonepower.com, you can. Well, there's lots of free material on there with. I think we even have past interviews on there from you.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, you can download my first chapter of my book.
And
I encourage you to do that because it's just a real no-nonsense. Here's how to say it. That's what a lot of people don't know, is just here's how to say it.
Right. And I love your book. I actually just referred it to a client yesterday. And I will say that your website, the blog posts are amazing. So listeners, for information and instructions on how you can access Dr. Brown's amazing gift, the instructions for that are in this interview instructions. And if you'd like more information about Dr. Brown or her work, again, you can visit her website at www.backbonepower.com. And thank you again for joining us today, Anne. I hope you have a wonderful day.
You as well. Thank you, Heather.